And let's find Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. And let's look unto the Lord to bless His Word unto our heart this morning. In Isaiah 56, there's a statement found two times. I pointed it out when I read through it a moment ago. Found in verse 4, the last part of verse 4. Take hold, God says, thus saith the Lord. He said, take hold of my covenant. My covenant. Again, down in verse 6, he says, these who have joined themselves to the Lord, that serve Him, that love Him. He said, they taketh hold of my covenant. They keep on taking hold, laying hold on God's covenant, His covenant of grace. So I'm entitling the message found in those words, take hold of the covenant. Take hold of the covenant. Now, if you look this word up, take hold, even though it appears as two words in our English, in the original, it's one word. And it means to seize. It means to fasten upon. Like you take hold of something and not let go. Take hold of it. It's like a death grip. It's to cleave to something with all your self. Cleave unto the Lord. Look at verse 3. It says, that layeth hold upon him, that had joined himself unto the Lord. Verse 2 is the one I want. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold, taketh hold, layeth hold upon the covenant. Now the covenant here is just not a piece of paper. This covenant here is just not some material thing. This covenant here that he's telling us to take hold upon, to lay hold upon, that will keep us, save us, justify us, is none other than a person. The Lord Jesus Christ, the messenger of the covenant, the savior of the covenant, the sacrifice of the covenant, the surety of the covenant that's ordered in all things and is sure. You see, this is what faith does. It takes hold of Christ. This is what faith is. Faith cleaves unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it does so in a violent way. A violent way. Preacher, what do you mean? Turn over here. Save your place there in Matthew, Isaiah 56. Turn to Matthew 11. Saving faith takes a hold and lays hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ in a violent way. In a violent way. What do you mean? Look what it says here. Matthew 11. Verse 12. You ever notice this? I know some of you have because we've studied all the way through the book of Matthew, but some of you were not here in those days. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, was gotten by force. And the violent take it. They take it by force. Saving faith, here's what that's saying. Saving faith must have Christ. Must have at all expense. Violently get everything else out of the way. Lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Take hold upon this covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3 when he says, I count all things else as loss. Rubbish, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Take hold of Him. Lay hold upon Him. You see what I'm saying? Lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who says so? Who says so? Look at verse 1, Isaiah 56. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Who is this Lord? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Did you notice that? Lord. Jehovah is what the word is. Jehovah. Jehovah is Almighty. The Almighty, self-existent, sovereign, eternal God. God our Savior. Thus saith the Lord. He says, take hold of my covenant. That's what God says. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Jehovah. Matter of fact, some of the old writers, you know what they called him? Jehovah Jesus. That's not a bad phrase. God my Savior, who is my Savior? Jehovah Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Jehovah. For we worship Him as God, don't we? We receive Him as God, don't we? We bow before Him and worship Him as God, our Savior. In John 13, when the Lord gathered with His disciples to wash their feet, the apostles, He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say well. For so I am. I'm your Lord. I am your Master. I like the confession of Thomas. Well, my name is Thomas, Thomas Allen. And I like the confession of Thomas the Apostle. His confession and my confession are one and the same. You remember the confession of the Apostle Thomas? When the Lord revealed Himself unto him, he said, my Lord and my God. That's whom we worship today. Now, what I want to try to do today is glean some gospel nuggets from verses 1 down to verse 8. And pray that the Lord will bless His word and our understanding that we might learn more of Christ, the gospel of Christ. Isn't that why you're here today? Didn't you come here to learn of Him? I trust that's why you're here, to learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest. You want rest? There's that word again. Take it. Take it. Lay hold on it. Take my yoke. Take it. Lay hold on it. And learn of me. Take it. Violently take it. I must have Christ. I must have His word. Oh, that we might worship Him and learn of Him as He's revealed in the word. Now the Lord says, look at verse 1. Here's what the Lord says unto us. Keep ye judgment. What is judgment? It's His word. Keep my word and do this word here. Justice is righteousness. Keep my word. Obey my word and do righteousness. For my salvation is near to come. And my righteousness is to be revealed. The Lord says unto us here, keep the word. Keep my word. Receive my word. His word is a word of truth. And that'll bring us to this. Justice, righteousness in Christ. He said, my salvation is near and my righteousness will be revealed. Where is salvation revealed? In His word. What does the word talk about? His righteousness. What is that all about? The Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The word of truth, the Bible that you hold in your hand. Do you realize what you have in your hand? That's just not the word of men. That is not just the word. That's the word of God. The word of truth. The very inspired, God-breathed word of the Lord. And as such, we receive it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that does what? Effectually worketh in you that believe. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It is good for us. His word reveals unto us the way of salvation. You remember? Let's see if we can find it. Back in Isaiah 45. His word revealed. He said, my salvation is near. Near to come. The Savior, the Lord Jesus. His word reveals unto us the way of salvation. Isaiah 45:16. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be confounded or ashamed, word without end. Look at verse 22 of Isaiah 45. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. His word reveals the way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And his word certainly reveals a way of righteousness, doesn't it? Turn to Isaiah 46. Paul said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In Isaiah 46, look at verse 13. Bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory, his righteousness and his salvation. Now turn to Isaiah 53. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, verse 10 of Isaiah 53. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He is the just God and Savior. Back to Isaiah 56. So keep his word. Keep his word. Believe his word. Receive his word. And do righteousness, believing him. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness shall be revealed. Now look at verse 2. Isaiah 56. Blessed is a man that thinks about this. No, the man who actually does this. That keeps his word, that believes his word, that lays hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that believes and trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, salvation and righteousness, as it's revealed in the word, that keepeth my Sabbath from polluting it, that keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Blessed is the man that doeth this. Not, you remember what it says in the book of James? Not only to be a hearer of the word. Let's turn over and read that. Not only to be a hearer of the word. I believe that's James chapter 1, isn't it? Not only to be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. In James chapter 1, we're not only to hear the word of God, keep the word of God, receive the word of God, but how about obedience unto God's word? You know, saving faith is obedient unto the word of the Lord. In James chapter 1, look at verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, James 1:18, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved, brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You look in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. He turns and straightway he forgets what manner of man he is. Let's not only hear the word of God, let us by faith obey the word of God. Two things are mentioned here. To be a doer of the word, blessed is a man that layeth hold on his word. Talking about the written word, talking about the preached word, talking about the incarnate word. His word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Two things are mentioned here. Laying hold on his word and keeping and receiving his word will do. That keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, that keepeth his hand from doing evil. Those who lay hold upon the word of truth, I think this is evident of those who do. It'll keep us from polluting the Sabbath. Now, what's he talking about here? You're not talking about a Sabbath day. We don't set aside a day and try to be holy in that day and say we're holy because we don't do certain things on a certain day. That's not what he's saying here. The Lord Jesus Christ in this covenant of grace, he is our Sabbath rest. Keeping his word, receiving his word, laying hold upon his word will constantly keep us looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who honored the law of God for us and fulfilled the law of God for us. Turn to Romans chapter 3. That's how we keep the Sabbath. That's how we honor the law of God, by resting in Christ. Therefore, we conclude, Romans 3:28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing as one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, the uncircumcision, the Jew or Gentile, through faith in Christ, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Look what it says. We establish the law. We honor the law. How does faith establish the law? What is faith? Where does faith look unto? Christ. What did he do? He honored the law in every jot and tittle. As a matter of fact, it says in Isaiah 42, remember? He magnified the law, honored the law, exalted the law, and he did that as a representative man representing us, imputing and giving to us that blessed obedience, his righteousness, by grace alone. It'll keep us from polluting the Sabbath. It'll keep us constantly looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who honored the law. You know how we would pollute the Sabbath? By trying to keep a day, we'd pollute it. The Word of God points us to Christ, our Sabbath rest. Read Hebrews chapter 4. Christ is our Sabbath rest. It'll keep us from putting our hand to doing evil. See what it says there? The man who... This is a blessed man that doeth this, he won't pollute the Sabbath. He won't put his hand to evil. Now what do you mean here? It'll keep us from putting our hand to doing that which is contrary to the gospel of Christ. It'll keep us from trusting something other than the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all salvation. It'll keep us busy looking to him. See what he's saying there? It'll keep us busy looking to him. It'll cause us to set our heart, our affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Now let's look at verse 3. I want to consider verse 3, 4, and 6 together. Under this heading, let us never despair of the grace of God. For we were one time, as it says in verse 3, strangers. Strangers. We were one time as this eunuch, a dry tree, fruitless, lifeless. But now by his grace, we've taken hold of the covenant of grace. Verse 6. The strangers join themselves to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to keep the Sabbath from polluting it, to take hold of his covenant. Now, let's consider a few things here. One time, believers were estranged from the grace of God. We were strangers from the covenants of grace. Aliens and strangers, it says in, you remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12? That one time we were without Christ, without hope, without grace, strangers and aliens from the blessing of the covenant of the gospel of God's grace. We were Gentiles without God and without Christ and without hope, children of wrath even as others. But now in Christ Jesus, we've been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have joined ourselves unto the Lord. Our heart, how do we join ourselves unto the Lord? Our heart has been united unto the Lord by this union, this vital union of faith. That's how we join ourselves unto the Lord. Now, let's consider several things under this head. First of all, we see in verse 4 that believers choose the things that please him. Let's not say the Lord hath utterly forsaken me, as it says in verse 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that had joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry, fruitless, barren tree. That's not true of the believer. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuch that keep my covenant, my Sabbath, and they choose those things that please me. They take hold of the covenant. Now let's consider several things. This phrase here that's found in verse 4. They choose the things that please me. Believers make a choice of things that please God. What is this? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Believers make a conscious choice of things that please God. Remember what was it Joshua that said, after me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. How do we choose those things that please God? Says these believers here that have joined themselves to the Lord, they choose those things that please me. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, those that are without faith are those who are without Christ. Those who are without Christ are those who are without God. The only person that pleases God and satisfies all that he requires is the Lord Jesus Christ. God is pleased with him. Believers make this is the conscious choice of faith that looks unto Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is only pleased with him. And we choose the things that please him. What pleases God Almighty? The Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well. What's the word? I'm well pleased. God is pleased with those in Christ Jesus. These who are blessed of God. These who are blessed to take hold of the covenant, to lay hold of the covenant, to believe his word and to do his word. Those who are blessed of God, they consciously choose the things that please God Almighty. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, all he is and all that he has done. Secondly, in verses 4 and verse 6, this statement is found two times. Believers do willingly, made willing in the day of God's power. Believers do willingly take hold of the covenant. You see that in verse 4. You see that again in verse 6. And they continue. They continue to taketh hold. As I've often said, faith is not an isolated experience. Faith keeps looking to Christ. Faith keeps coming to Christ. Faith keeps taking hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers do willingly take hold of the covenant of grace. By his grace, they keep on taking hold of it. They embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, who is a surety of the covenant of grace. Look right across the page, Isaiah 54, verse 10. The mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord. I want to take hold of that covenant that will never be removed, never be abolished, the eternal covenant of grace. Right across the page there in Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Believers do willingly embrace the surety of the covenant by faith, and that is none other, no more, no less, than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Secondly, they embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as a sacrifice of the covenant. The sacrifice of the covenant. God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ through the blood of the everlasting covenant. They embrace and they look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We embrace the surety of the covenant. We embrace Christ, who is the sacrifice of the covenant. We embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come to Him through the mediator of the covenant. Now, who's the mediator of the covenant? You remember 1 Timothy 2? One God, one mediator between God and men, that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. They take hold of this covenant. They regard all the promises of the covenant, all the blessings of the covenant, as certain and sure. All the promises of God in Him are what? Maybe the promises of God will be done. Maybe they won't. All that God has spoken, not one word will fall. All the promises of God in Him are yes. And in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God by Christ Jesus. You know that's what the Scripture teaches? 2 Corinthians 1:21. You see, faith lives on the promise of God. Like David of old, by faith, he laid hold on this covenant. His last words on his dying bed, what God had made with me, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and is sure. This is all my hope in all my salvation. Believers have not only joined themselves unto the Lord, and they take hold of this covenant of grace. But it says in verse 6 of Isaiah 56, the sons of strangers that join themselves to the Lord. You know what it says here? Why do they do that? They serve Him. They serve Him. They love the name of the Lord to be His servants. They will not pollute the Sabbath. They will not pollute the gospel. They take hold of this covenant of grace. You know, God's servants, God's people, they delight to serve the Lord. They delight to be His servants. They take their place as a willing, loving bond servant unto the Lord Himself. As the Apostle Paul oftentimes, when he writes his epistles, he said, Paul, a servant of the Lord. That's a high title, to be a servant of the Lord. They serve Him. You know why they serve Him? Look what it says there. They choose Him. They join themselves to Him. They lay hold on Him to serve Him. And they do all that because they love the name of the Lord. They love the name of the Lord. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. Do you love the name of the Lord? I mean, God, as He's revealed in the Scripture, high and holy and lifted up and eternal. Do you love the name of the Lord? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Rea, the Lord my shepherd, the Lord my righteousness, the Lord who will provide for us, the Lord my shepherd. They love Him and they love the name of the Lord. They love to serve Him. We love Him. Why do we love Him? Why do we take hold on Him? Why do we receive Him and love Him and serve Him? We love Him because He first loved us. We lay hold upon Him. You know why? He has laid hold upon us. That's right. Now let's consider, in closing, the blessings of the covenant of grace that are given to us here in verse 5 and verse 7. The blessings of the covenant of grace. Oh, blessed is that man that doeth this. Are you a doer? Are you a doer? Have you by faith laid hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you joined yourself unto the Lord? Here's the fruit and the blessings of the covenant found here in verse 5, 7, and verse 8. Look at verse 5. He said, even unto them now, unto them will I give my house. My house. I'll give them my house. With walls and a place and a name better than sons and of daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that shall never be cut off. He says, I'm going to make them part of my household. I will give them I will, even unto them, he said, I'll give in my house. My house. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. This house here, verse 7, is called the house of prayer. Now it's not talking about a physical building. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his bodies. It's members. Members of his family. Being one with his body, his church. His called out. Ephesians chapter 2. Look what it says in verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers. You're no more foreigners, fellow citizens, but with the saints. With the saints. You're part of the household of God. The household of God. We're members of his body and of his family. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in the gospel. Promise in Christ by the gospel. I want to read this reference. Turn over here to Hebrews chapter 3. His household. Being a member of his household. Being an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Ephesians, or rather, this is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose household are we, if we hold steadfast, hold fast to the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Whose household are we if we hold fast? There's that same word again. Take hold. Take hold of the covenant. Lay hold upon Christ. Now, look back to Isaiah 56 again. Verse 5, here's the second thing. These are blessings of the covenant. He'll make us a member of the family. Secondly, he says, I'll give them a better name. You see that? Not just sons and daughters of Adam. I'm going to give them a special name. I'm going to give them an everlasting name that will never be cut off. I'll give them a better name. I'll give them an everlasting name that will never change. He'll never kick us out of the family. What is this name? Let's see if we can find out. Turn over here to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. This name. This name. He's given us a name, a new name, an everlasting name. You know, it's a whole lot like his name. Matter of fact, his name and our name are the same. We're married to him. When a woman marries a man, she takes his name. Look what it says, Revelation 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, while I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receives that name. It's the name of Christ. Revelation 3:12, turn there. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. There's that house of God. And he shall go out no more. I'll write upon him the name of my God. The name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, cometh down out of heaven from God, and I'll write upon him my new name. That new name. Turn to Revelation 14:1. This is a name given of God. Being made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Being sealed with God's name upon our forehead. Revelation 14:1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. Forehead. Revelation 22, turn over there. Revelation 22, verse 4. And they shall see his face. Look at verse 3. Let's read that too. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their head, their forehead. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he's put us in his house. We're of his household. He's given us a better name. Our name in Adam was cursed and ruined, depraved. Our name in Christ is blessed, saint of God, a redeemer. We are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our name is the same as his name. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting God, the Prince of Peace. And that's the believer in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, look at verse 7. He said, even them will I bring. Them will I bring. Them I will bring to my holy mountain. And I'll make them joyful. I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer. And their burnt offerings, their worship, and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon the altar, Christ crucified. And my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. He said, I'll bring them unto my holy mountain. Now, hear this. We'll never lay hold, not truly, not by God-given faith, until the Lord gives us faith, until the Lord grants us faith. Our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the just one who died for the unjust that he might bring us unto God. How does he bring us unto himself? How does he draw us unto himself to cause us to violently take hold on him? To violently receive him? How does he do this? He makes himself altogether lovely. He makes himself so attractive. So beautiful, so glorious, that we must have him. And faith violently lays hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he draws us unto himself. And when he draws us, we come. We lay hold upon him. We take hold of the covenant of grace. Now look at verse 8. Here's the fourth thing. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. Now, turn to John chapter 10. And here's the fulfillment of what's being said right there. John chapter 10. The Lord said, I'm going to gather them. I'm going to gather them. The Lord will gather the outcasts of Israel. Yet he said, I'll gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. Look at John 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And here's these others that he will gather. Not only his elect among the Jews, but his elect among the Gentiles. Other sheep have I have which are not of this fold, not of this tribe, not of this nation. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold and one shepherd. Notice carefully who does the gathering. Verse 8 again. Isaiah 56, notice carefully who does the gathering. The Lord God which gathereth. Who does the gathering? The Lord does the gathering. The Lord does gather us. Turn back to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Here's why he gathers us. Here's why he brings us unto himself. And here's why we take hold on him. Isaiah 43, look at verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I've loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for your life. Spare no expense. Fear not, verse 5, Isaiah 43. I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters, from the ends of the earth. Bring them, gather them. Everyone that is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory. I've formed him, yea, I've made him. Bring him. He's precious to me. You see, he's going to gather the outcast that the outcast cast out. He's going to gather those unto himself. So, in closing, look at verse 3. Let us never say then. Let us never say, the Lord hath utterly forsaken me. The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. He will not do it. He will not do it. Listen to this scripture. John chapter 6. All that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me. And those that come to me, I will, what? I will in no way cast them out. Our Lord said many times through the scriptures, Old Testament and New, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No, never will I do it. Let us never say that we are a dry tree, not in Christ. Let us never say that we are barren and fruitless, not in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Let us never say that we're barren and fruitless. Not in Christ. Now in Adam, that's true. But not in Christ Jesus. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Psalm 92. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Remember, believers are called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Remember, he's going to put us in his household. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, even in old age. As his body wrinkles and decays, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man perishes, doesn't it? But the inward man is renewed day by day. They shall still bring forth fruit. What is this fruit? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, these things. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. What a blessing to be gathered unto the Lord. What a blessing to take hold of the covenant of grace. To lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. To be given God-given faith that violently acts upon Christ. What a blessing to keep taking hold of the covenant of the gospel, as it says in verse 6. How do we take hold of the covenant? By faith. And you know what that causes us to do? Causes us to let go of the covenant of works and look to Christ. Look to Christ.